Epiphany Sunday. The scripture that is probably read every year on this Sunday before us, a day of familiarity, a day when we hear of the wise men and the gifts that they bring, and probably most often hear a sermon on the same thing. However, this week God spoke to me and said, I don't want you to concentrate on the wise men. I don't want you to concentrate on the gifts. What I want you to speak about today is King Herod. King Herod was not a Jew. He was a king who was appointed under the Roman Empire because there was a favor owed to his father. But we hear this morning of the wise men who have traveled so far coming to this king. And they come and they seek his wisdom and his guidance on where it is that they can find this child who has been born, this child who is the king of the Jews. Scripture tells us that King Herod became frightened. I imagine a nervousness about him. Whenever we have fear, or you see someone who has fear, there tends to be this nervousness about them. And I imagine him having this nervousness as he's trying to figure out and seek out this information about this king of the Jews. Who is it that they are searching for? Don't they know that I am the one who is king? And so he calls together the scribes and the chief priests to see if they know when this king was to be born. He then meets with the wise men and he acts like he's really interested in worshiping this king, even though he isn't Jewish. But he isn't interested in worshiping the king of the Jews at all. What is he interested in? He's interested in himself. He wants to protect himself. He wants to make sure that he still has power, and that his interest and his plans and his ambitions are being carried out. So what does King Herod miss by looking at himself? What does he miss by looking at his own interest in protecting what he thinks is important, instead of truly seeking out and worshiping the King of the Jews? He missed Christmas. He missed Christ. He missed the Savior of the world. In fact, he didn't only miss Christmas. He didn't only miss Christ, he didn't only miss the Savior of the world, but in this process of looking inward, he destroyed lives. If we continue reading in our scripture, we know what happens, don't we? King Herod has the massacre of every infant 2 years and under killed. So he not only takes the lives of these innocent babies and children, but he destroys the lives of many families as well. I want us to think about our world today. I want us to think about who it is that is missing out on Christ. or who it is that is hurting someone else because they are protecting their own interest. Because they are looking at themselves and what their desires are, and being selfish, want to protect what is important to them. Now, we aren't going to probably want to admit where that may be us, where it is that we may be hurting someone else, or where, because of our words or our behavior, there is someone who is missing out on Christ because we are being selfish, because we are being greedy or prideful or seeking out our own interest. We say, Jesus, I want you to be a part of my life. But Jesus doesn't want to just be a part of our life. Jesus wants to be the center of our entire lives. And yet there are part of our lives that we don't want to give up for Jesus. Whether that be in our careers, in our homes, in our churches, in our ambitions, in our plans, in our dreams for our future. We want Jesus to be part of our lives because we want to have that assurance of our eternal life, right? We want Jesus to be there when we need him. But unfortunately, often like King Herod, we have a fear of him being ruler of our lives. And I'll be honest with you, it's hard, and I struggle to give God every part of my life. It's hard to give up all control, isn't it? There are things in our lives that we want to have control of, things that we think, well, we know what's best. And so we may surrender 99% of our lives to the Lord, but there might be that 1% that we're holding onto. That 1% that we don't want to give control over to the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Savior of the world. And yet, we want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I know this. I struggle with this myself. And I know what I must do. We know what we must do. And yet sometimes we're like King Herod. Sometimes we want to just protect our own interest. And when we do that, we are missing out on Christ. And in the end, we are hurting others. Maybe not by death in the fact of having people murdered or massacred, but by not bringing them to the one who can give them eternal life. And so it does lead to death. So why do we struggle? Do we fear losing ourselves? Do we believe that we have to guard what is ours? Well, everything we have, everything we are or should be, is because God has given it to us. And it truly belongs to him, even you and I. But for some reason, we think we have the right to say, God, I get to hold on to this. I get to make the decision of what is best. I get to have control. But you know what? When we make that confession and we say, Lord, I accept you, then those words should have great meaning to our lives. And it should mean that we are giving everything to Jesus Christ. But oftentimes we instead say, Lord, I confess and I accept to this point. I'll serve where it's easy for me to serve and where I choose. I'll come to church when it's convenient for me. I'll love others when I want to. Because you know, Lord, there's always going to be people that are really hard to love. That's not what Jesus requires of us. Jesus says, if you are going to be a follower of mine, you must take up your cross and follow me. And so when we say those words, when we say, Lord, I confess, and we confess our sin, and we say, Lord, I accept you as my Lord and Savior, then we are saying, Lord, I surrender. I surrender myself. I surrender my thoughts. I surrender my ambitions. I surrender my plans to you. I am asking you to forgive me of everything I have confessed. And I am accepting you to be the Lord of my life. And when we do that and we begin to live into that relationship, that personal relationship with the Savior of the world, it draws us closer to Him and it draws us closer to our brothers and sisters in Christ. It allows us to show others what it means to have Jesus as the ruler of our lives, what it means to be able to share that hope and that grace and that peace and that love with others. See, it's easy for us to look around at our neighbors here at Wesley, to look at our brothers and sisters at Christ Church or our brothers and sisters at Hillside Church and say, well, you know what? I can see where they're failing to live as God calls them to. But it's much harder to look inside ourselves, isn't it? It's harder for us to look deep within ourselves and see where it is that we are failing to live for the Lord. And we sure don't want to admit when our lives are anything like Herod's. And yet, if we're honest with ourselves, there are going to be times that we're seeking our own interest. There are going to be times that our words and our actions hurt other people, keeping them from coming to know the Savior of the world. Because we're seeking out our own desires. See, if we confess and we accept Jesus as our Savior, then He has to be Savior of all of our life. Or He's not Savior of our life at all. See, we can't just have a little bit of Jesus. God created us to be a follower of Jesus. He gave us His words so that we could see the example that Jesus set for us as He walked here on earth. We want to take bits and pieces of that sometimes and apply it to our lives. But all of Scripture is for our life. And so we need to remember that. We need to take all of it and apply it to our lives. But we also need to always be seeking and searching what God has for us. How it is that He wants us to follow the Savior of the world. And so I pray that we don't miss out on Christmas, that we don't miss out on Christ because we fail to put ourselves in the very presence of Jesus. I pray that we come to know him fully and completely, that we have that joy, that hope, that peace, and that love living in each of us because of Christmas. I pray that we are open to God's Holy Spirit that nudges us when we act even one iota like Herod. I pray that we are open to have the eyes and the ears of Jesus as we look out into the world. I pray that we don't hold on to control, any part of control, of what our desires, our hopes, our ambitions are, but instead we give them to God and we say, God, not ours, but yours. Allow your Holy Spirit to reveal to us who it is you are calling us to be. Let us seek your desires, your plans, your thoughts, and your ways, knowing that he has the perfect plan. But he has called us to live it out as we share the love of Christ, our Savior. Amen.